Today, as I'm sure you'll know, has traditionally been known as Palm Sunday, commemorating Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem as the crowds waved their palm branches in adulation. But did you happen to notice when we read it earlier that in Luke's account of the triumphal entry, there's not a single mention of palm branches? What's even more interesting is that neither do Matthew or Mark record palm branches. They do both tell us that people cut branches from the fields, not to wave them, but to lay them on the road as a kind of red carpet. But they don't actually say what sort of trees the branches came from. Perhaps palm trees, perhaps olive trees, or something else. John's Gospel, it turns out, is the only one to specifically mention palm branches, with Luke saying nothing about branches of any kind. In fact, if we only had Luke's account, we might well be referring today as Cloak Sunday, since they spread their cloaks out. Or even Donkey Sunday, which might be even more likely for reasons we'll come to shortly. It's years since I've been to a major cricket match, but they used to be fairly staid affairs. These days there's all sorts of shenanigans. You might have a group of people dressed up in Richie Beno costumes, or others in green and gold sparkly wigs, giant hands that they wave when someone gets out, whatever it might be, all intended to help in cheering their side on. But as attention-grabbing as those things might be, we all understand they're not the main game. And you can't imagine the press or the commentators focusing only on those things to the exclusion of the cricket. The point being that, in a similar way, the palm branches, or branches of whatever kind they were, are not really the point of all this. They're only the cheering of the supporters, some of whom, by the way, turned out to be rather fickle, switching allegiance within a matter of days. And even though it's given less prominence in our lectionary readings these days, I'd like us to spend a few moments on the reading we started with from Luke 19, which you have printed on your hymn sheet. Readers of Luke have known for some time that everything was heading towards Jerusalem. Right back in chapter 9, Luke has told us, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead to make various preparations. Just notice that point, because it's possibly significant as we come to these events. As Jerusalem comes into sight, Jesus gives a couple of his disciples some instructions which seem rather strange. If we put them into contemporary terms for a moment, it might be something like, go to a certain street where you'll find a blue Toyota with the keys in it. Just hop in, start it up, bring it back here. People are going to ask, where are you taking it? Tell them the boss needs it and it will be okay. It's a little odd at best. Are we to take it that the availability of the colt is a case of some supernatural knowledge on Jesus' part? Some have dismissed this entire account simply because they think that's so improbable. I'd want to suggest that it's certainly possible that it's supernatural knowledge, though my guess, for what it's worth, is that this is more likely one of the preparations he'd sent people ahead to make. But the important point is that this donkey colt is not merely a convenient mode of transport, a handy alternative because the chariot hire place was booked out that day, or the buses don't run on Sundays, or whatever it might be. But to understand its significance, we have to delve into what the 4th century Bible scholar and translator Jerome called that most obscure book of the prophet Zechariah, second last book of the Old Testament in the way that our Bibles are organised. Here's a bit of trivia for you. The last 6 chapters of Zechariah, which include the part we're interested in today, are, as I understand it, the most quoted section of the prophets in the Passion narratives. And Zechariah has far more influence on the book of Revelation than any other Old Testament book. Zechariah chapter 9 is a prophecy. If you were to look in one of our NIV Bibles, you'd see it's headed Judgment on Israel's Enemies, with serious warnings addressed to Damascus, Hamath, Tyre, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, the Philistines. And then in verses 9 and 10, we read, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Matthew explicitly quotes some of those words. Mark and Luke just seem to expect that the readers will get it. One commentator, presumably American, describes this as something like a political convention, where the candidate, who's already known about, is now endorsed and proclaimed in a very public kind of way with all the razzmatazz. And there may be something in that. Though for all of that, it's still rather low key. Perhaps more low key than we often think. Yes, there's a crowd, but it's all still outside the city. This is a limited group. The whole thing appears to draw only minimal attention from the authorities. It seems rather to be one of those things for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. I imagine many of us have been inspired by the courage and determination of Ukrainian President Zelensky. There's no doubt about his willingness to stand up and lead from the front, and I certainly hope he gets through all this. But of course, none of us yet, Zelensky included, can know the final outcome. But it's one thing being confident you can prevail when what's ahead remains largely unknown. What's striking about Jesus is that he knows exactly what's in store. And yet, far from being dragged reluctantly to his fate, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As the Apostle Paul would later write to the Philippians, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The adulation of the crowd, we're told, is because of the miracles they've seen. And whether deliberately or even without consciously being aware of it, they express their praises in the words of Psalm 118, which in Jewish worship was expected to one day greet the Messiah. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." That's what makes it all too much for some Pharisees in the crowd who demand that Jesus pull his disciples into line. He responds in a rather colourful way, that the truth being expressed can now never be contained. Even the stones will cry out. Drawing all this together, the triumphal entry is a significant precursor, but not itself the main event. That will come later in the week, as we've heard in our main readings. It's perhaps somewhat akin to the grand final parade, the celebration and the buzz of excitement before the real action takes place. Only in this case, the crowds have no idea what's about to happen. Most, I'm guessing, will be assuming or hoping for something at a completely human level. But who knows exactly what? Perhaps something to do with the Roman occupiers. Perhaps to do with the renewal of their religion. Ultimately, some elements of both those things, but This is very much an event for those with eyes to see and ears to hear. The place, Jerusalem, is significant. The donkey, calling to mind the prophecies of Zechariah, also significant, coupled with the words from Psalm 118, offering a clear sign that here is God's Messiah. Most striking is the resolute determination of Jesus to carry out this eternal plan of salvation, humbling himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen.